Airbnb.
Yetis, how much can you charge for your place? Important question, but hard to answer.
Airbnb helps host with that. They show you how much similar places in your area are going for so you can compare and contrast.
Jack, this two-bedroom walk-up, it's going for $300 a night on weekends, but my two-bedroom walk-up is nicer, it's got a pretty view, and maybe I'll put it up for $400 a night.
Nailing the price is key to being a satisfied host on Airbnb, and Airbnb helps you do it. Your home might be worth more than you think.
Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Rocket Money.
All right, Yetis, picture one place you can link all your money accounts to have one single picture of all your finances.
That's Rocket Money.
Yeah, it is.
But we love this app because it actually does a lot of different things for us.
Rocket Money, it's like our money manager. It shares money alerts like that refund that we've been waiting for.
And Rocket Money also helps us save money by helping us cancel subscriptions that we don't need anymore.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
That's rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
rocketmoney.com/TBOY.
Fabric by Gerber Life.
Yeah, a lot of people think that getting life insurance means you're insuring yourself for yourself.
But it's actually the exact opposite. You're insuring yourself for your family.
Yeah, Jack and I, we both got term life insurance to make sure our kids and our partners are taken care of if something happens to us.
Life insurance is how you protect your family's future, and we love Fabric.
Fabric by Gerber Life is term life insurance you can get done right here, right now. You could be covered from your couch in under 10 minutes with no health exam required.
And if you're young and healthy, now is the time to get life insurance.
Because you lock in low rates that fit your family and your budget.
Join the thousands of parents who trust Fabric to protect their family. Apply today in just minutes at meetfabric.com/tboy.
That's meetfabric.com/tboy.
Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company, not available in certain states, and prices subject to underwriting and health questions.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Wednesday, February 19th.
Second day of the week. The week's already halfway over. I love three-day weekends. Did I mention that?
Good timing, because this is the best Snacks Daily we have ever whipped up. Jack, first story.
Our first story is Molson Coors, the beer company. Nick, I didn't tell you this before the pod. Molson Coors officially changed its name to Molson Coors Beverage Company.
They finally jumped into the spiked seltzer game hard.
And we're looking at how Vizzy will stand out post White Claw summer.
Or is this a pre-Vizzy spring, Jack?
I see what you did there, and I bet you the PR people at Molson are pretty pumped.
Little reversal, second story, Jack.
It's time to decide if Uber and Lyft are good or bad for society.
Spoiler alert, snackers. Good if you use Uber, bad for everyone else like our moms.
Third and final story. Walmart just announced its quarterly earnings, but we're looking at all the startups that the world's biggest retailer has murdered.
It's an innovation vampire. We're getting into that more, Jack. It's kind of freaky.
I was thinking Dementor, not innovation vampire, innovation Dementor. We do too many Harry Potter references.
We did like a reflection on this one. But snackers, before we jump into all that, we got to talk about how General Mills is struggling with cereal sales.
So it's offering some really expensive cereal as a result.
You know that old adage, if people aren't buying something, jack up the price on it.
Basically, customers don't want the soggy bread soaked in milk, which is aka cereal. So it's raising the price to $13 a box for one brand.
Now, price raises like that tend to work in things like perfume or jewelry or wine.
You don't want to impress your date with the 2020 Reserve collection of Pinot Gris.
No, you're going with the 1995 Chateau Cheval Cabernet with a little bit of Reserve.
Our old trick out of college was order the second cheapest thing on the menu, but not the cheapest thing on the menu.
So Jack and I got curious about this new cereal from General Mills. Don't call it a cereal. They're calling it Morning Summit.
It comes in at $13 a box, and it looks like a bowl of cereal got sprayed by a granola fire extinguisher. Like, pfft, pfft.
Sounds like a documentary about Mount Everest, less like a cereal.
It's got gourmet nuts, dried cranberries, toasted pumpkin seeds, almond, and then finally, cereal flakes.
We were shocked they didn't throw in coconut shavings. What were they thinking on this
thing? The cereal flakes mentioned at the end, it seems like they were almost embarrassed to mention the word cereal.
General Mills is like, corporate made us do it.
Honestly, this stuff looks really good, though. It looks like it'd be served at like an Austrian Alpine B&B.
You get stuck on an island for like 3 years, all you need is one bowl of this thing, it'll carry over.
It's a classier cousin of muesli.
Let's hit our three stories. You're tuned into Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we gotta get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC. For our first story, Molson Coors is jumping into the spiked seltzer game hard.
And we may have to redefine the beer industry.
Snackers, we're going to jump into this snack style by going straight to the 2020 About Us page on Molson Coors' website.
They really snuck this in there. In 2020, Molson Coors changed its corporate name to Molson Coors Beverage Company.
They also announced they've got a rich heritage of not just beer. No. They've got sparkling cocktails, hard coffee, canned wine, kombucha, cider, and more.
Or as the corporate PR says, we got a lot of offerings beyond the beer aisle.
Hey, guys, slim it down and just focus on one thing. And they also announced earnings last week, and the stock has fallen 6% since then.
Because beer sales are down in America, and everybody's going to the sparkling seltzer. So guess what? They just launched a new sparkling seltzer called Vizzy.
But guess what? They just got sued by an Austin-based sparkling seltzer called Brizzy.
Now, I actually get that because in Spanish, the letter V sounds like a B, so these are highly confusable names.
But here's the real problem, we think. A can of Vizzy looks like a Jamba Juice Halloween costume.
Blueberry and pomegranate, pineapple and mango.
The flavors are outrageous. They're bursting with the stuff. Although they claim over at Vizzy, it's just a hint of the pineapple mango.
It's very mixed messages. They have these outrageous like fruits everywhere. But yes, Nick, it's just a hint of blueberry mango.
Pineapple, mango, pineapple.
They're trying really hard to be intense and chill at the same time.
Subtle messaging here, though, is they're trying to tell you that you can get drunk with this stuff, but you won't be bloated. It's basically like Smirnoff Ice got a makeover.
So, hosting Snacks Daily the past couple of years, we've noticed that the not beer aisle is getting pretty crowded.
Sparkling seltzer beer alternatives are everywhere.
If you look at every big beer company that's publicly traded, they're all bragging about the new hard seltzer they just launched.
Budweiser's AB InBev, they've got Bud Light Seltzer.
Boston Beer Company, home of Sam Adams, they're bragging about Truly.
Constellation Brands, they've got Corona Hard Seltzer.
And they're all chasing the OG White Claw. White Claw's sales nearly quadrupled last year as White Claw Summer did everything.
Now this sloppy spike seltzer mess, Bank of America predicts, is going to lead to $100 million splurged on ad sales in the seltzer wars.
Everybody is trying to put an ad in front of you so that you drink their spike seltzer at the beach and not their spike seltzer at the beach.
Oh, and by the way, Boston Beer Company, they're making more money on non-alcoholic beverage these days, not beer.
The beer industry is truly in decline.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over in Big Beer?
When you're late to a trend, you have to differentiate to get noticed.
We were shocked, Snackers, that Molson took so long to jump into the spiked seltzer game. It's like they hadn't sent any researchers to a single frat or beach party.
It's really been hard to not notice White Claw. I don't know what was happening at Molson Coors.
They're the last ones to the spiked seltzer party, so they're adding a second trend on top of the spiked seltzer trend to make their new product work.
That trend is functionality. So Vizzy is not just a low-carb spiked seltzer. It's also got benefits with superfruits and antioxidants, and they're boldly displayed on the can.
No joke, the first hard seltzer that's going to be called Vizzy comes with Acerola cherry, which is like some rare kind of cherry. Where do they even get this cherry?
I don't know what Acerola cherry is, but apparently it's high in vitamin C.
They had to like go to the depths of the Amazon rainforest to find this stuff.
So the new value prop of Vizzy is you can get drunk, but not bloated, and maybe like not get a cold because there's vitamin C in there.
Sounds a lot more like NyQuil to us, but the bottom line, when you're late to a trend, you kind of got to throw in a second trend to differentiate. For our second story, it's time to conclude the impact of Lyft and Uber on society.
It's been good for people who Uber and Lyft, bad for everybody else.
Like our moms. Uber has been fantastic for one thing in particular, And that's academic research.
Everybody has some post-grad buddy writing a paper right now called The Environmental and Equity Impacts of Transportation Network Companies on Post-Urban Sub-Rural Communities.
Times New Roman size 15 on that one to make it stand out.
So the Wall Street Journal summarized a bunch of those academic studies to figure out the impact of Uber and Lyft on society.
So the winners are basically anyone who's Ubering or Lyfting.
Uber introduced the freedom to not have to own a car, not worry about the bus line or subway schedule, and not have to pay an arm and a leg for a taxi.
And then it created the whole side hustle economy so you can make some flexible income on the side as a driver, not too shabby.
But these studies show that the losers is everybody else who's not participating in Uber.
So once and for all, Snackers, Jack and I are going to look at how Uber has impacted society. Jack, finding number one.
Big finding number one, Uber is not ride-sharing. Do not call Uber ride-sharing.
There is definitely someone playing this in an Uber right now, and they're looking at the driver, and it's very awkward.
There is a myth that Uber is a ride-share company, and ride-sharing is similar to carpools. Fewer cars on the road, less pollution,
true,
less traffic,
yep,
more kumbaya.
But the reality is that Uber drivers aren't sharing their rides. They're getting hailed, key verb difference.
And they might even be coming from like 2 hours away just to do an Uber shift in some city to find you and then like drive back 2 hours. There's a lot of driving going on.
Jack, the Uber ride home from that New Year's Eve wedding I went to in Nashville, people were Ubering in from like Alabama to do these rides.
The drivers were?
Drivers were Ubering in.
And here's a crazy fact. 40% of the driving time happening in Uber in New York and California is with no passenger in the backseat. They're just driving to Nashville to pick up somebody post-wedding.
We're talking lots of empty cars on the road, which brings us to our finding number two, Jack.
Uber and Lyft actually increase the amount of driving happening overall.
All right, so here's the myth. If people can rely on the rides with Uber and Lyft, they'll be less likely to get a car and they'll jump on a bike or take public transportation instead.
Yeah, they'll take Uber and Lyft sometimes, but a lot of times they won't take Uber and Lyft. They'll take like, you know, the bus or the subway or a scooter.
So the reality, though, is that people are taking more rides overall, and that's causing lots of pollution. And that's her ridership and public transit.
Here's a scary fact. Traffic in cars moves 2.5 miles per hour slower in general after Lyft and Uber have become mainstream in a city.
But here's the crazy thing. You know what could fix this, Snackers? Uber pool or Lyft pool.
Unfortunately, Uber pool is not that good business for Uber, so they're not really setting the prices to incentivize us to take those carpools.
All right, so we got our two findings. Uber and Lyft are not ride-sharing, they're ride-hailing.
And they increase the number of cars on the road, not decrease.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies who are Ubering and Lyfting over at Uber and Lyft?
Fibbing about your mission can actually be a successful strategy.
Get this, Snackers. It's a quote from Travis, the co-founder of Uber back from 2015. Jack, the honors.
If every car in San Francisco was Ubered, there would be no traffic.
No joke, he said that. But the reality, there's more driving, more traffic, more pollution, more horn honking, more air fresheners, more unwanted bottles of water forced upon you at Jolly Ranchers.
Hey, feel free to have one of those Jolly Ranchers in the back. No, I'm not an 8-year-old trick-or-treating.
They don't even look that good. Actually, some of them are good. The strawberry's okay.
Now, if we were woke sooner to the fact that Uber was part of the problem, not part of the solution, maybe fewer people would have started Ubering in the first place.
But now Uber and Lyft are here to stay.
If you fib about your mission, you can already become a success by the time your fib is corrected and people get woke.
But full disclosure, Jack and I are not advising you to fib about your mission.
No, of course not.
For our third and final story, this one's wild. Walmart just announced its earnings.
But all we can think about is the innovation vampire.
This is straight out of the Twilight series. But before we kick that off, Jack, can we share a little of these like early snack facts we found about Walmart?
Walmart's a pretty big company, so when it makes tiny tweaks, a lot of dollars can be saved.
Turns out Walmart's going to save $60 million a year by changing how it buys its shopping bags.
It's already saving $200 million a year by using different light bulbs in its parking lots.
And it's saving $30 million a year with like lighter duty step ladders.
That's incredible.
Yeah, nothing too special about the earnings. But what fascinated Jack and I was the news on the innovative companies that Walmart is killing.
These companies are owned by Walmart. It's like a praying mantis killing off their young.
It's a beautiful National Geographic image there, Jack. Robert Pattinson is going to be impressed.
I wouldn't call that a beautiful image, kind of an alarming image.
The first company to focus on is ModCloth, which is like an anthropology for people obsessed with floral prints. They just got sold off last fall to a financial firm.
And that got acquired, ModCloth, by Walmart just 2 years ago, and they're already gone.
Now, Bonobos is the direct-to-consumer khaki company that laid off some workers last fall, and its CEO left.
That company got acquired just 3 years ago by Walmart.
And Jet.com shut down its grocery delivery business, and its workers are moving to a Walmart headquarters.
Can you guess what happened to that one? It got acquired by Walmart 4 years ago.
Now, last week, we noticed that Jet Black also got shut down.
Jet Black was the first company in Walmart's own startup incubator that actually saw the light of day.
Yeah, they basically took the co-founder of Rent the Runway and took her to like lead this new startup.
Did they take her?
It was a complete Liam Neeson situation.
She was taken. So for $50 a month, you get a membership to live a very fancy white glove city life.
That's what Jet Black would provide. It was like text-based ordering and delivery of stuff you didn't know you needed and you probably didn't really need.
You could be like my little brother, Teddy, mid-diaper changing because he has a daughter now. Realize you ran out of organic diapers? Text Walmart and they will deliver you diapers stat.
Yeah, and boom, throw in a set of Brazilian juice cleanses and they'd get that to you too ASAP.
Now, Nick and I just got emails this week. After 2 incredible years in New York City, Jet Black is ending our current operations.
As soon as Jack and I saw that Jet Black was ending its operations, that's when we knew there was something up with what Walmart's doing.
By the way, we got that email because we're on the wait list for Jet Black, which we never got off.
And by the way, we literally got that email like yesterday. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Walmart?
All of those startups got their innovation blood sucked by Walmart, which is the innovation vampire.
For 4 years, Snackers, Jack and I have watched Walmart buy up unprofitable e-commerce companies, and it was kind of cool. It was kind of cool to see.
But those companies didn't mesh well with Walmart's old school leadership, which just wants profits and doesn't have patience for unprofitability.
So instead, Walmart sucked out the online shopping innovations from those startup brands and used it all to benefit Walmart's own brand.
And they're letting the innovative brands and companies die.
Case in point, Jet.com, acquired by Walmart, and that led to like two-day delivery at Walmart.
Yeah, they took Jet.com's best trick, aka sucked their innovation blood.
And now Jet.com can't even deliver groceries. They've basically been maimed to like dine in a closet.
Guess what? This strategy is working. Walmart stock is at a record high, more than double as high as it was before the first of these acquisitions, which was Jet.com.
Which is why we want to leave a warning for entrepreneurs. If you sell to Walmart, it's probably going to take your best innovation and probably let you die in a bloodless cave. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us over there?
Molson Coors is worried about declining sales of Coors Light, so it's launching Vizzy Spiked Seltzer.
It's late to the hard seltzer party, so it's adding a second trend, functionality.
Our second story, Uber and Lyft are great if you're Ubering or Lyfting, but have bad side effects for cities.
If you fib about your mission, you could become a billion-dollar company before people find out and prevent you from becoming a billion-dollar company.
But we're not recommending you fib about your mission.
You should definitely not fib about your mission on this one.
Third and final story. Walmart is an innovation vampire. It sucked up the best ideas from the companies it's acquired.
And now it's a brick-and-mortars giant with online shopping powers in a vampire. Snackers, time for our snack fact of the day. This one tweeted in by Blake DeHart in San Antonio, Texas. Also a dry heat, I understand.
They love Sean Elliott down there for that epic three he made in the NBA Finals.
Snackers, you know that Facebook's logo color is blue. Abba-dee-abba-die.
I like what you did there, Nick. That's because Mark Zuckerberg, when he was a freshman dropout in Harvard University, was a little bit colorblind and couldn't see red or green that well.
He also was still colorblind, and the richest color he can see, turns out it's blue.
No pun intended on that richest color mentioned by Nick right there.
Snackers, fantastic to have you with us. You look beautiful.
I will see you tomorrow. Nick, I'll see you tomorrow too.
Can't wait. Let's do this tomorrow.
I'm in.
The Robin Hood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robin Hood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robin Hood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.